Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, July 26, 2020. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
I've been touched by Jesus, and it's restored my youth. I am now baby Wombat for the rest of the show. Welcome. It's proof.
Fountain of youth right there, I tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs, Red Leader, and George. Say hello.
Hello.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. Also, if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in TV/video show broadcast?
Oh yeah, I love that.
Has been for over 10 years. You know about that, Wombat?
Yes. It's very appropriate too. So imagine the Muppets, right? They're all the puppets. Now they're babies, and the show's called Muppet Babies, and they run around in a nursery with each other. So you have all the classic Muppets. You have Kermit.
One of these days,
stop him, Larry.
Anyway,
Fozzie Bear
is what?
Fozzie Bear. He's there too. He's telling jokes.
Okay. It used to be on Community Access TV for 10 years. Now we're going streaming and recording on YouTube. So if you want to find it, look for the Free Thought Coalition of Knoxville, Free Thought United Coalition of Knoxville on YouTube. But we'll tell you more after the mid-show break. Our topic today, I believe, is destiny. And is it real? Who wants to take that?
I want to throw it over to Miami, apparently, where Beachbody Dread Pirate will lead us with our invocation.
So, you know, I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. You know, people who say, well, you know, I guess it wasn't meant to happen, or, you know, it was meant to be, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out there who don't actually believe in destiny or fate, but nevertheless use these terms as colloquialisms. And I just wonder if, you know, there's if we could just stop doing that. I mean, if in fact we're training ourselves to believe things that aren't there, and that in using those terms we reinforce those things. So
I feel like there's a lot of things we have to address before we delve into this topic even more. Right. One, Dread Pirate's on a beach and he's wearing his tank top. Can you do that buff thing that you just did a quick second ago? This guy's stacked. you strike me as one of the people who are on the beach who would just have like dumbbell sets with them. They like load them from their car and just do it. Yeah.
Muscle Beach.
It's good build. It's good build. Second, George, you just had surgery a while back ago. How are you holding up? Are you feeling good?
I am doing phenomenally well. I have been blessed. A miracle, I have to report.
Nice.
Okay? No, it was a real miracle. And, you wouldn't need that strength. That
today on the Lord's Day.
Larry. Oh, my God.
I'm going to lay it on, man. 2 years ago, I had heart surgery, and I had no pain. I was prescribed narcotic pain pills, and I stopped taking them because I didn't need them. And I told my doctor about this, and he said, but they cut your breastbone to get at your heart. I said, yeah, but I had no pain. Well, this time it's the same. I've had shoulder surgery. The surgeon says it's the most painful surgery that he does. And praise Jesus, I have no pain.
Good for you. I'm happy, and I wish you speedy recovery.
I do have pain if I rotate my shoulder and stuff like that, but steady state, wow.
More praising will take care of that.
There you go. Dale, what's the what's the signature item today? Because before it was a bust of Randy the Magician, right? And now it's like this blue cup.
Blue cup or something.
This is an experiment I've been doing. Donald Trump came to me in a dream.
Okay.
And what this is material that is draping material from the hospital that one of my relatives gave to me several years ago. And in the dream, he said to do this, to, I don't know if you can see it, but I've made a little divot here in the top of the glass.
Yeah.
And it last night, about 12:30, I filled it with water. There's about a centimeter and a half of water in here. And all during the night, not one drop of water has come through. Because Donald Trump came to me and he said that actually the viruses do not travel by themselves. They only travel on water. Like when someone speaks or sneezes or sings or whatever. And so he
That's Dr. Trump,
me
right?
to do this. And then I took the mask and lined it with this. So what happens is any droplet of water comes into my mask, it gets stopped, but the air goes through. Anyway, that's what that is.
How prescient is that?
Huh?
I said, how prescient is that, that he would come to you in a dream and explain that to you?
Well, last week I asked if anybody else had had any supernatural experiences, and apparently you have not, and I don't think anyone else said that they did, but I have
myself, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been having these dreams where all I can assume is it's an alternate opposite universe where Donald Trump is he's a superhero in it, and in this universe. And every night I have these dreams, and this came to me in a dream, this little idea. Experiment. So I'm going to start using it more in my mask because he said so.
Fair enough.
Very good.
Larry?
Well, we must remember always that Donald Trump was chosen by God himself.
I've had my limit of sarcasm for now. Larry, how are you holding up? It's been a week since I've seen you last. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, but you said you had your limit of sarcasm, so I'm not going to go there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will say this. Check this out. For the people who are watching this on video, I have turned my face into a perfect rendition of my face when I was but a child, like preschool level. Like I just took a picture of myself in preschool, mapped it onto my face. And now I have a 3D model of my face that I'm walking around with. I can put hands in front of it. There's occlusion. It is so bizarre to see this face again.
Yeah. Snap pack.
Like I haven't seen. I haven't seen this face in a mirror since I was in like maybe kindergarten. It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. I was such a cute kid. Oh my gosh. Got the white hairs and everything, but I'm still rocking it. All right.
I'm going to let you guys know that we actually have 3 live stream viewers right now. So.
Wow. Okay, you guys are free to comment anytime you want.
You're still going to need to lean in a little, Gary.
Gary, can you raise your level a little bit?
They bring forward.
Okay.
We can't really hear you very well. You'll have to lean right up on the mic.
Yep. Get right up on that mic, Gary.
Yes.
Yes. So, Gary, on the mic, how do you feel about Destiny? What do you mean by it? What is Destiny? Talk to me.
Well, I mean, the idea that I've been hearing from people, I mean, it's usually just cast out there as a casual comment. Oh, I guess that wasn't meant to be, or... look, I guess it was meant to be. You know, comments like that, obviously speak to a notion that there's a bigger register out there where things take place.
And, or the universe has certain for. And, or the universe has certain goals for us.
Pardon me?
Or the universe itself has certain objectives or goals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it's. I mean, there's a lot of, we train ourselves. We practice what we do in order to be better at it. And when we include things such as, assertions towards destiny or fate, are we in fact training our minds to believe that such things are actually possible or real? And that was kind of the point I was trying to get at, is it better to... acknowledge that those things that those expressions are happening and that we need to be aware of them and essentially point them out so that people who make them are aware that they're appealing to destiny or fate or God or whatever, even when they profess that they don't.
George, I'm going to throw this out at you. What do you feel about fate? And do you think there's any aspect that is actually true to the point where someone says, well, this had to happen because that's the way it only could have happened, or like that's the way it should have happened or was designed to happen? Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely not. You know, it's like I was brought up an atheist, and so the idea of faith is kind of alien to me organically. I don't know what else to say to that, except that's my own reality.
I'm willing to go out on a limb, but I'd love to hear what Dale thinks about the idea of fate. Do you think anything do you think we live in an utterly planned out universe where like every action has already been ascribed to an extent?
Me?
What's the deist mindset? Yeah, what's the deist mindset? Is it possible for God to like plan the universe, die, and we still work on his plan?
There was no plan, so to speak. I think you're talking about the clockmaker God, the old thing of the deism. But all I can relate to destiny is that there is cause and effect in the Newtonian universe. So if in the Newtonian universe, you know where all particles were, then you would be able to predict, prophesize where the future. In the quantum universe, though, that's not so likely. Our forefathers used to use a word called providence. And in that, they would justify some of their actions by saying it is providence that we form this new nation. And that's all I can say about destiny. I assume you're talking about prophecy, which is all over religions. And I have no reason to hold any stock in that. Is that good enough answer?
Yeah,
oh, by the way, what is that crap on your screen?
It's my face. And how rude. Larry.
I think he's talking about the rattle.
Oh, yeah, it's the rattle.
Really distracting.
Good. Larry, what do you think?
Could you turn it off, Tyrone?
I can't. Larry, what do you think? What's the idea of destiny?
Well, it depends on how you feel about free will, I think. Do I think that there's a being, a supernatural being that has clocked it all out or laid everything out, or even a clockworth God? No, I don't think that destiny is real or fate is real in that sense. However, I'm not a real believer in free will. I think that the earlier notions that if you knew that the initial state and direction of every atomic particle at the beginning of the universe, if you knew that, then you should be able to predict everything that's going to happen after that. Further, you have all these influences on a particular person and their development, their biological origins and influences, their societal origins and influences, their family's influences, that will pretty much dictate what you do for the rest of your life. In that sense, I think that destiny may be fleshed out as far as some kind of ultimate goal or destiny or ending, but I don't think there's any intelligence behind it.
Right. And Larry, that's a key point. Would you might be able to characterize that as limiting factors?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than destiny or fate as being something goal-oriented.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Larry hit the nail on the head. Like, there's two schools of thought with me as far as how fate works. There's either fate that's intelligently guided or fate that is by nature processed, right? And I would agree that, yeah, there's definitely equations that can let us know if certain things are within control of, you know, probability. Like, if I had a drawer with 10 red socks and one green sock, I have a 1 out of 11 chance to pull out a green sock. I may not pull out a green sock on the first try, but if I do it 11 times, I'm guaranteed to pull out one green sock.
Yeah.
Right. So like, that's within control.
Yeah. But we do have a viewer who said, I think destiny is an expression of predeterminism.
Cool.
So just finishing the thought. Important term.
Mm-hmm. Just finishing the thought. I would say, we have clearly the idea that our destiny could be guided by a scribe, like a higher power that planned everything out ahead of time. And we're basically living off that script. And I feel like that's a much more extraordinary claim, because I can take the non-intelligent based nature guided design and fate and stuff and test it. I can test it repeatedly and come out with like really good ideas of like how this works. But as far as like a higher power describing things, I need more evidence to even show that a higher power even exists in the first place.
But that doesn't stop people from using the concept like manifest destiny. Politicians would use that.
That's exactly my point.
To say that it was meant for us to take over this entire country from sea to sea.
Mm. Gary, could you repeat that comment that we had?
The comment that came in, I'm sorry I can't pronounce his name. It looks like Khan Min Nguyen, maybe.
Cool.
Anyway, he says, I think destiny is an expression of predeterminism. And he follows that up by saying, I don't believe in destiny as in every action is predetermined. Rather, I think that destiny is about the big picture as a whole. That's kind of an interesting qualification.
Cool. I can see yourself using the word destiny to like describe, I have such a calling to do this. Like it fulfills me so much that it feels like
I couldn't do anything else kind of thing.
Yeah. Feels like it was literally meant to be. Like it feels like I'm actually fulfilling a purpose that was ascribed to me. It feels that high order. And there's a lot of things like that I feel are true for me. Like I like making music. I like doing science. Like if that was my destiny, I would actually feel in some way more comfortable that I'm doing something that I felt that I was intended to do, just because I derive so much comfort from it. Though it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a causation there. It just means that, hey, these are two things I like.
And there's probably a little bit of confirmation bias that ends up going into that, right?
Larry, I'm going to throw this out at you. What is a good way to know? Let's say we don't know if our universe is controlled by an intelligent being that scripted out, and it's not even worth considering it as an option because there's no justification for the higher power. Like, flat out, we agree on that. But what would be a good way to figure that out if that were the case?
To figure out if there was a deist god, say, or any kind
like
of
god? Yeah, like if it was a script. Yeah.
Well, that we do have scripts. We have all kinds of scripts that the holy books that are on the planet. Those are the dogmas of the religions. And I mean, you can test them. Like in Christianity, it says that whatever you shall ask for in prayer, it shall take place. You shall have. And we can test that real easy, and it doesn't work.
Have we ever tested prayer before? And has it worked?
A few times. I was raised Christian. But anyway, what I'm saying is all of these different religions have make claims, and you can test those claims and they all fall short. Now, that's why I don't subscribe to any of the dogmatic religions out there. I don't subscribe to deism mainly because it really doesn't serve a purpose. It just, it lets you say that you have the answer when you really don't. I mean, that you believe, but it's belief. It's nothing else. But I don't have any trouble with deism at all. I don't have a problem with people that want to be deists. It doesn't have a dogma, therefore it's not a problem to me.
Sure.
They're not going to pass laws to show what they're make you do what they think their God wants you to do, because their God doesn't want you to do anything.
Larry, I was hoping if you knew of an example where we scientifically tested prayer and saw if there was
I can't remember offhand who did it. It was like a university.
It was very significant.
Yeah. And they used a very large sample size, and they found out they divided it into three groups. One, that the people were being prayed for and they knew it. One, they were being prayed for and they didn't know it. And another one, they weren't being prayed for.
Right.
And the they all did pretty much the same, except for the group that knew they were being prayed for had more performance anxiety.
Right. Yeah. They actually had poor results.
They had complications due to the anxiety.
Yeah.
We know, I mean, through that study that prayer doesn't work.
Though, and it does speak
a lot. And we do know in a very obvious way that no amputee has ever regrown a limb, despite whatever prayers have been said for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It's never happened.
That's a sad thing. Yeah. 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 You know, there's a lot of diseases that could have been resolved with prayer, but they haven't been yet. We were talking about deism a while back. I'd love for Dale to like weigh in. Dale, what do you think of the idea of, I mean, what's the closest, I know you don't congregate with other deists, but like, is there an idea that is commonly shared among deists that you're aware of that deal with the idea of fate that's beyond your, you know, your healthy skepticism?
I think the most common thread would be there is a God, or there's a God out there, but he doesn't screw with you. Doesn't mess around in your life, doesn't answer prayers, doesn't curse you to die, doesn't curse you to have disease. It's, if you can, you can imagine this type of God would be somebody that is in a lab and he has an auger dish and he sticks his finger on the dish, puts a cap back on it, and he comes back a few days later and some fungus has grown there. He doesn't know, you know, what the fungus is doing, probably doesn't care about what it's doing, certainly can't affect it, but he did start it growing, whether he meant to or not.
It's funny that you use the pronoun he.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could say she, it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just a convention.
I think things were much simpler for deists back during the time of Amenhotep IV.
Yeah, where we didn't know anything.
What?
Or like when, like, our access to scientific knowledge was much lower, it's always easier to make supernatural claims. Like, it's always going to be easier.
Well, it wasn't a supernatural claim. During Amenhotep IV, he got rid of all the Egyptian gods, threw out all the priests. We all like that sort of idea. And he said, the sun is God. And in his time, he was exactly right. The sun was the giver of all life. So as a religion, what?
It still is.
Yes, but except for the tube worms in the ocean floor. But he was,
there was a lot of life that doesn't
count on the sun. Verifiable religion. Sure. You couldn't pray to it, but you wanted the rays to fall upon your crops so that they would grow. It was a pretty easy God to believe in. You could see him and everything else. The deists in the future, though, we keep pushing the God further and further and further back.
Mm. It seems also, it also seems unfortunate that the crutch for a God belief is so strong within us that we need to look at a giant ball of, you know, fusing helium to be like, okay, this will work for now until we figure out that that's not God. And then we'll move to the next animal or the next ancestor,
exactly,
or the next belief that we can't test or believe.
Now we're at the Big Bang.
I'm not, but I would say this. Someone said, I have a little gripe before we get to the top of the hour. Someone said particles at the beginning of the universe, and if we knew where they all were, then we'll figure that out. There were no particles. I know we have, I have some friends.
Oh, not at the very beginning. I understand. It's just energy at the very beginning. But when the particles finally came to be, that's...
Condensed, yes. Yeah. Perfect. Larry, you're smart. All right. How about this? I'm going to throw this one question out for the group. I'll start with Gary. Gary, do you think we are fated, or do we have a destiny to continue to have this God hole that we have to fill with these ideas of a supernatural being? Are we as a human race fated to have that? Whether it be, I'm waiting for your audio to come back in, whether it be, you know, a supernatural being, money, son, so whatever.
I don't believe in anything as a, you know, sort of manifest destiny, or that there's any kind of script. I think we just attend to these old habits, and we have to train ourselves essentially to come away from such notions as that was meant to be, or, you know, the idea of serendipity and all that kind of stuff as being manifestations of some sort of script to the universe.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where I stand on that.
Gary, you said something really interesting. You were like, we have to train ourselves out of religion. But I think there's also the idea that we were trained to be religious from the get-go.
Well, Mary, what do you think? You know, and I think, you know, I've often referred to this book, Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow. And of course, he goes into some detail about how, you know, the common ancestor to humans would, you know, listen to a breeze in the bushes and think to themselves, well, is that a breeze or is that a lion? And the best thing at that time would be to assume it was a lion, because that would increase your survivability. But, you know, as we've become more sophisticated as humans, the opportunity to think slowly about things, so reason not being the go-to response in the human brain, but something that we have to practice. So reason is something we have to practice. And I believe that moving away from religion is a function of the result of that practice.
Right. Cool.
If that makes
Larry,
sense.
Larry, how do you feel? You want to close up on that thought and then take
us out? I think it's our destiny to have a mid-show break.
A touche.
That's right. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be back after these short messages.
Brothers and sisters, have you heard the news? The storm has lifted and there's nothing to lose. So swap your confirmation for your dancing shoes, because there never was no God. Step out of the darkness and onto the streets. Forget about the farce, let's have a carnival feast. Raise up your lowered head and hear the liberation beat, because there never was no God. And there is no God. So clap your hands together. There is no God. No heaven and no hell. There is no God. We're all in this together. There is no God. So ring that victory. Until we die, until we restitute the meek. No blaming all our failings on imaginary beasts, because there never was no God. The fighting of a land your distant fathers told you of. No spilling blood for those who never spread a drop of love. The finger pointing justified by phantoms up above, because there never was no God. Say there never was no God. There is no God. So clap your hands together. There is no God. No heaven and no hell. But there is no God. We're all in this together. there is no God. So ring that victory bell.
Hello, and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, July 26, 2020, and let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year and have over 1,000 members. You can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheists.org, or you can just Google Knoxville Atheists and find us that way. Another large free thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. To find them, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist call-in TV show. Well, it's called Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. It's a coalition because it includes pretty much all the different freethinker organizations here in Knoxville in the making. And you can find it on YouTube under Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. If you're interested in getting involved with the TV or radio shows, just come to an ASK meeting or RET meeting once we start having them again, or just contact us through the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour Facebook page, leave us a message and or comment, or you can send us an email to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll address it on the show. Our topic today is destiny.
Sorry? Aren't we having another monthly atheist event today around 5 o'clock?
Oh, tell us about it.
Well, I don't know. Knoxville is very blessed by having multiple atheist organizations. And if I remember right, one of them is having what has traditionally been a potluck one Sunday a month. And I think it's today. I thought maybe you would know and could tell us.
No, I don't know offhand. I'll try to look into it and maybe have that information by the next week, and therefore we can go forward with that. I'm looking for it now, but I don't see it.
It was listed as a potluck traditionally, once a month. Okay. Let me see if I can find it.
While it's live radio, though.
Yeah, not saying
right. Larry, why?
So is it okay if up? I talk? No,
we got
comments
come in
from the live streamers who are watching our show right now.
Cool.
So Min, I believe, is what he asked me to call him. Religion may eventually be gone, but the belief in a higher power may not. That's why we have myth. It is a way to understand our psyche, like Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung thought. What do you guys think about that?
Ooh, it's not bad.
Well, I think that it's okay as long as you don't start believing it's real, and that's where the trouble comes in. And once you start making that leap and start depending on it as something that's out there and you have to deal with. Like it might be.
I love myth. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, like I said, it might be a good thing to use in a story or
a
novel or something.
Foundation for Star Wars, for example,
was a Japanese movie.
Joseph Campbell had a big part of informing that for George Lucas, and certainly all the
witches in Shakespeare.
Yeah. So, Larry, did you finish the local news?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right, cool.
Went back to
I'm sorry.
Topic.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're all right. I was looking forward to the start one scream out, but it's all good. It's all good. We'll work on that. And then, hey, we at the start of the show, we're going to do a daily invocation, but we didn't get a chance to. So, Gary?
Yes. Lead us. Said the Reverend, I know I'm too smart to rely on just faith a la carte. My belief isn't treason. It has evidence and reason, like this warm, fuzzy glow in my heart.
You got to say it.
Cool.
Ah. Gary, how do you... No.
Ramen.
We're going to have to retrain all the bits that we're doing today, and we're going to have to make sure that everyone's on point before we start on every beginning of the show. Speaking of which, I can't seem to find it. Can't find it. Yeah, where is the love?
Where is the love?
So today by the way, going to be taking all
mine.
Take it away, Larry.
Nice. If you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for atheist groups in your town. Don't find one, start one.
Nice. Well, I have to confess that I tried
no,
to
No, we're
do
doing
that.
Love now. No more interruptions, George. We're going to need to talk to you. We're going to do a definition of street epistemology because we're going to be taking some listener feedback on street epistemology.
Thank you. Right, George, you're going to be happy about this, I'm sure.
I am happy about it.
This is the sixth time we defined it. This is a street epistemology show for the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years that we've been doing this, but we'll do it again. Street epistemology, as I like to call it, or SE, is a way of talking to people without making it an argument or debate. It's a really great option where two people can work together to figure out how someone reached a conclusion. And I found it to be a really useful way of dealing with charged topics without letting ego get in the way, because you're both working together to figure out the methodology that someone used and whether or not it's reliable. And there was a really interesting question on Street Epistemology subreddit, as well as our YouTube comments. We're going to be going to them. The first one was written by Zeddy Zed. He wanted to know, is there ever an example where two people use SE against each other? His question is, has there ever been a conversation where two people with opposing viewpoints are both using SE conversational techniques on each other? I'm guessing it would be hilarious, and I would love to hear / see it if it exists. I thank him for that question, and I was saying to him that technically every SE conversation is one where both people are using SE against each other, because it's not an adversarial technique. I'm trying to figure out how that person's right just as much as that person is at the same time too. And we're working together to get it done. Right. That's what makes SE a lot different from like a debate or an argument where there's like two.
I would concur. Yeah.
You would too? Yeah, and Gary does SE as well. You can check out his channel. It's Mind Pirate on YouTube. We also got a quick little comment on our last video. Lady Lou said she liked the comment from the last talk that we did. She said, I really like the comment where you said, Ty, I had a door open that I walked through and I'm like, oh man, there's a whole other room in my house I've never been to.
Right.
And she was referring to when I was referring to like basically being a Christian my whole life and realizing that I didn't have a good reason to believe it. It's very much similar to like walking out of a closet. Like it's like that. Oh my gosh, I have a kitchen. I have a front door. I have a car. Oh man, this world's really big. I was way more comfortable in the closet, but now I can't get back in again. It's too small for me, even if I could fit back in there. So yeah, there is a lot like that. I think there's a lot of parallels where coming out of the closet versus whether you do it sexual orientation wise or atheist wise, maybe even coming out of the military wise, leaving academia and coming back into like general public and you're using big terms and people don't understand what you mean by stuff like that. I've had that happen to me so many times, but culture clashes are very, very true, especially when they happen inside you. Gary, do we have any more comments from Twitch?
I've got DTR says, I don't believe in higher purpose and I don't know why others would.
Okay. Well, hey, why would people? It makes people comfortable. Does that make it true?
It does, right?
Yeah, like some people draw benefit from things that make them comfortable, but you have to look maybe perhaps past that to see, is it actually true? And do you get a better benefit from believing true things than just comfortable things?
Mm-hmm.
That's the real kicker.
I agree. And there's a tendency, like as you say, is to fall back on old positions, on old methodology. You know, I've talked to people who are professed atheists who still say or make exclamations like, "Oh my God."
Sure. I do it. You know, I do it.
I do it.
Right. And again, you know, because I do spend, you know, that time training myself to say, "Oh my quab," because with the spaghetti monster, right? But it, I mean, you, when people hear that, they go, "What?" You know, they all of a sudden, because they've tuned out the other phrases as just sort of commonplace and almost expected. But when I say, "Oh my quab," and they go, "What? Oh my what?"
Right.
You know, so it tunes them into the fact that they're doing this autonomic response you know, stimuli that may deserve some practice to get away from.
Gary, I like to go on the opposite side, but towards the same goal, where I let people know I'm an atheist well ahead of time and still go out of my way to say things like "God bless you," or like when they sneeze or something like that, or like "Hey, have a good time," or "Hey, Merry Christmas," whatever, or "Hey, I was at church." I was literally at church, either doing interviews or at a Universalist Uni church, which is one I went to when I was in Knoxville. And I want people in their head to realize, oh, atheists, they just hate God and they get upset when everyone ever says, you know, "God did this," or "Thank God." It's like, no, I said that too.
Now this brings
I don't
up
believe it's true. That's the big deal. That's the difference between me and someone else who says that.
Gotcha.
But I can say, I'm in the country where I can say whatever I want to. Yeah, and it's not a big deal. And you like
and
me.
And
maybe
this brings
I'm just
going to
finish the thought, George. Just finishing the thought, George. You might run into other atheists who say the same, or you might run into people who you don't know are Christian or atheists who might say, "Bless you." And you may not know automatically that they're Christian. You may not have that as your default person anymore. And I think that's what making the distinction. George, go for it.
Good point.
Well, I'm sobered by the knowledge that as an atheist, I'm one of the most hated people in the country.
No.
And you know, our listeners and viewers don't realize this right off the bat, but I am not in Knoxville. I'm halfway to Chattanooga. I live in open country, let's say. And the question for me, having come here from the coasts, I mean, I grew up in New York City and I lived in California for 40 years. And I've heard all kinds of stories about the South. And so the question for me is, am I safe revealing that I'm an atheist around here? I'm worried. I know what people hate me, I think. Can you guys fill me in on that?
Larry, why don't you start?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. What was the question? Do we know
why? Am I safe revealing that I'm an atheist?
Well, I think you're safer if you reveal it. If you go around trying to keep it a secret, people feel that they might, once they find it out, they may have that over you. They might be able to blackmail you in different directions. Once you're open and come out and you tell everybody you know and you're willing to defend it, then they respect it and they respect you for doing that. They may not act like it, but they do. It's like respecting someone that you're in a sports event against. They're on the opposite side, but they demand your respect and you have to give it. Now, if they don't, then that's their problem. And just like anything else, if irrational people don't deserve your respect.
There you go. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Put that on a shirt, Larry. Yeah. Irrational people don't deserve your respect.
There's a way to rewrite a time-old song.
Yeah.
If you're atheist and you know it, clap your hands. If you're atheist and you know it, clap your hands.
George can't clap his hands. He has shoulder surgery. Don't be rude.
Yeah, but getting back to "Oh My Quab," I still say, "Oh my God," but I only say it when something is unbelievable.
Good point.
Yeah. I was actually doing, so I was doing SC, Street Epistemology Socratic Examination, with a coworker of mine for the first time. He's a Christian, but he works in our lab. Mm-hmm. And we had some time to talk, do SC, just literally a breakout session of SC. I had my notebook ready and I was ready to go because I want to do talks outside with people so bad, but because of COVID, I'm locked in. So opportunity arose where we were just talking casually. He brought up Jesus again for maybe like the third time. And I'm like, so do you believe in God? Like, do you actually believe Jesus is the Son of God? Can we talk about how you came to that conclusion and see if, like, what motivated you to believe that?
Right.
And we went to personal experiences, faith, which he defined as just trusting it no matter what. And we, in a quick 2 minutes, we realized, you know, he's 100% confident, but personal experiences aren't 100% reliable. Mm-hmm. And faith isn't reliable at all to come to a true conclusion. And we dropped from that absolute closed-minded 100% to 90% in like about 4 to 5 minutes.
Nice. Nice.
And I also realized that he was much more willing to want to talk to me immediately after we just did that quick session. Cause he's like, so like, where are you? Where do you feel like this? And I said, like, I really don't have a position that God doesn't exist or God does exist. I mean, the more specific you get, the more unlikely I think it is. But like, as far as just general God with nothing attributed to that, I have no reason to believe that until I have a good reason to believe that. Right. And he's like, that makes sense. And so like, do you have an exact, like, who's your Jesus figure? Who's your role model? And I'm like, I don't necessarily need that high of a role model.
Right.
But if you were going to show me an example of a guy who did something like a self-sacrifice, I brought up like a king, an actual king, like Richard the First. He got killed by a peasant, but he in a war, and he decided not to kill the peasant because the peasant did a good job in the battle. He's just like, that was an honorable fight. He shot me in the chest. It's infected. I'm going to die. Don't kill this kid because he's a little kid. He fought me in an honest battle. Give him money and just let him be, you know? And that was like a very regal, honorable thing that he did. He was a warrior king. And I was like, that was cool. And he's like, oh man, that's cool. So that must have actually happened compared to like the Jesus story. And I'm like, right. Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I could see the doors open and I was just like, wow, that's such a cool. Nice.
Yeah. Well, there are people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr.
Exactly.
And others that sacrificed so much for our freedoms.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it's weird though when I bring, and you'll learn this as you do more talks, I am wary of bringing up things like Martin Luther King because immediately things what Christians do is like, oh well, you know he was a Christian, right? Oh, yeah. Right. So you have to be careful with the examples that you bring up. But yeah, I am actually motivated by the Richard the First story. Anyway, things you learn as you do SE, Socratic Examination / Street Epistemology. We were talking about faith, we were talking about destiny. Dale, I want to know something about you. Do you feel worried when you tell people you're a deist?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah. I think that's the best way of going about it. Like the less it looks like something to hide, the better. Right.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't
care what anyone believes. I mean, I'm not really doesn't concern myself whether they're a Christian or whatever, as long as they keep their religion on their side of the fence. When they come in and try to run for political office and it's guns, Jesus, and anti-abortion, and they're having those ideas because of their Bible, well then I start to have a problem with it. If somebody wants to control my life because of their religion, they've got to get in line. As a deist, I don't care what they do, and my God isn't going to tell them to do one thing or the other. So we should be living in a pretty compatibly. Mm-hmm. Now you guys, I can see where there's a problem with people having about atheism. It seems rather dogmatic when you're talking about the strong atheist that declares there is no God, because where do they get that information? Then you have the weak atheist who says, well, I just have not seen any evidence yet of God.
Yeah. I see that as a failure. I'll take this one. I see it more as a failure of nomenclature. We have the idea that atheism means that it's a knowledge claim to say that a God doesn't exist, when atheism strictly just means a lack of belief, really. And
actually,
if atheism's only concerned with is like, hey, I don't believe in a God. But if people say they don't believe in a God, and they know there's no God that exists. Right. They are an atheist and a Gnostic at the same time. And
Gnostic, I'm not atheist. Gnostic. Right. Yeah. Then they adopt the burden of proof.
We just defined it in the answer. Just defined it.
My position is this. I don't care. I don't care if there's a God or not. You know, doesn't mean a damn thing to me.
So you probably also don't believe in one too. So that makes you
in what?
That's cool. If you don't care, you probably also don't actively believe in one. So that also makes you an atheist. That's
exactly. Totally
fine. Part for the course. Gary, what do you got?
So I guess the big thing about deism or theism or any belief in any potential supernatural entity is that beliefs inform actions, and actions have consequences. And as you indicated, that as long as people aren't using their religion to try and force political decisions, I don't think it has to be that overt. I think there's a covert action that occurs when people believe in have magical thinking. And that magical thinking then informs their actions, and those actions have consequences. And that's so I think all magical thinking is problematic in that sense.
Yeah. And in my opinion, I just think whenever someone thinks they have an answer that they don't want to question, that's the problem, because we should always be willing to question, the answers you're really confident with.
Yeah.
All right. So we had some really cool talks. We had some cool stuff. I think we handled the topic of faith pretty well, and the idea of destiny. And I want to thank all of the commenters. I'm going to throw a random thing out, because I did talk about this. I had that conversation with my friend who is a Christian. I do worry sometimes about how being seen as an atheist can affect me detrimentally when I'm at work. And I have that weight on my mind for a long period of time. I'm a scientist, right? I'm a laboratory manager right now. But the idea is, it wasn't until I came out as an atheist at my last job and at this current job that I'm at right now, did I realize that so many of the people who I assumed were Christian were also atheists at the same time too. And it literally just took me the opportunity to just be like, no, I don't believe that. To the one was like, oh, neither do I. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, whoa. This mindset that I've been, putting this pressure on myself unnecessarily, plays a big role. Like the way how I see myself in other people's eyes can really inhibit me for expressing myself honestly. And so I think if you are concerned with that, there are good people that you can confide in. Maybe you can find good friends and you can just express that well, and you will realize, oh, this may not be as big of a problem as I absolutely thought. And the more billboard atheists there are, the more examples there are of good people who don't believe in gods, that defeat that stereotype that atheism typically gets settled with. And so if you are an atheist around the shelf and you're thinking about like coming out, even at a work group, I highly recommend it. It's worthwhile.
Highly.
Yeah.
I have a different perspective.
Thanks for raising your hand.
Sorry. My last round of employment was in the high tech industry, and I was working as a consultant, and I worked for a number of different companies, and I've discovered that every single company is different. Every company has its own culture, whether we like it or not. Company A, the husband is beating the wife, it's dysfunctional. Company B, the wife is beating the husband. Company C, the dog is biting everybody. I mean, they're all different, and some of them are open and conducive to everything, and then others could be like Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A.
Very religious,
religious and underscored in their religiosity by the United States Supreme Court, and it may be dangerous to reveal that you're an atheist if you're working for an outfit like that. You'll be out the door in a flash. So it depends what the environment is, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to mention that on September 28th, I will be going to provincial Supreme Court to go through a judicial review of the Human Rights Tribunal for discrimination, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Wow.
Human Rights Tribunal, of course, is supposed to stand for people who are discriminated against. And in fact, they're the organization that has exercised discrimination. So
against you?
I will be in against the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Yeah. So we will be in Supreme Court September 28th.
Good.
I want to point out that Gary is attending from British Columbia and all the way from just over the border.
And we have marvelous palm trees here.
but
the Great Breaches,
I'm fascinated to get the Canadian perspective, Gary, and I want to welcome you.
Cool. So yeah, with regard to coming out in a safe environment at job, yes. And I have that same fear as well, and I would say there's definitely a way to go about it. Maybe we can talk about that in the show, like how to bridge that gap.
Yeah,
but there's a way to test the water, and if you are in a position where you can do so, you should, because there's nothing shameful about not believing something without enough evidence to support it. That should be the default. That should be a value. That should be, you know, something we should admire in people. And we unfortunately are pushing ourselves towards a climate where facts don't matter, and right. we need to do everything we possibly can to fight that.
Very true.
So, now that we're at the bottom of the show, Gary, where can people find you at?
Well, we are live streaming right now. This is
We are.
This is Sunday. We start streaming at 8 a.m. PDT, cool. and we go for the full hour. You can also find my stuff on Mind Pirate, MindPyrate, on YouTube.
Yep.
And coming this fall, I will be teaching a course online called Skepticism 1.0, Adventures in Critical Thinking. So
nice
to that.
And I'll be happy to help out any way I can with that. You can find my stuff. It's Let's Chat on YouTube. You're probably watching it right now. Feel free to leave a comment. We'll go over it in the next week's show. And I have plenty of other SE, Street Epistemology / Socratic Examination videos on my channel. I've been doing them for the last, I don't know, maybe 3 years now. There's a lot of great stuff. Politicon, Nanocon. You pick Kentucky Free Thought Convention Forum. I was wearing the shirt for it right now. Oh, I guess I'm not wearing it. But there's a lot of really great talks on how to do SE, how effective it actually is, and examples similar to the one that I was talking about with my coworker. You can see examples of that on my channel and learn that there's a better way, or at least another way, to talk to people who have strong beliefs other than debating or arguing.
A very good way.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. George, I know you don't have anything. unless if you do, feel free to interrupt me, but I wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. What's howsjesusdidit.com, Dale?
What is it?
Yeah.
I believe that Jesus lived, and I actually think that people witnessed him doing the miracles, and that's what that book is about.
But where's the twist? Because anyone can just read the Bible. Why would they need to read how Jesus did it?
To find out how he actually faked the miracles.
There you go.
And where can we find him?
Or where can we find that book?
It's at howjesusdidit.com. It's you can read it online.
Nice. Cool. Yep. I know someone else who wrote a book.
Oh.
Larry.
Hey, Larry. Yeah.
My book is Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. However, all of the articles in it are available for reading for free on my blog, digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button to access the articles. You'll also be able to access our podcasts, these shows here, Atheist Music. I have that on there as well. This particular podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, LuminaryPodcast.com, etc., iHeart. If you're watching this on YouTube, you like and subscribe, of course, to whoever's putting it up, maybe exactly. My channel or Let's Chat. Right. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. And the time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. We'll see you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Game over.
You've been listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.